All right, imagine like a building, but it's so grand, you know, packed with meaning, and it basically becomes this guide to understanding how we as humans connect with the divine.
It's a pretty powerful concept, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's exactly what we're going to explore today, Solomon's Temple. We're diving into the Book of Chronicles, and we've got some incredible insights from Dr. August Konkol.
He really knows his stuff.
He's a leading expert in Chronicles, and he gets into all this in his lecture series, which you can find a link to, by the way, in our show notes.
What I find fascinating is we're not just talking about a building here, right? This is a structure that's meant to mirror creation itself. And where we fit into all of that.
It's like a blueprint almost, right? And Dr. Konkol makes this really interesting point about how the chronicler portrays Solomon's reign. It's all peace and tranquility, which is a total 180 from the wars and battles his father, King David, was known for.
Yeah, I think that's a deliberate choice by the chronicler, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
There's this underlying message that all the bloodshed during David's time, even though he was a legendary warrior, kind of made him unfit to build God's temple.
So it's not just who Solomon is, but what his rule represents. You need that peace as the foundation for a sacred space.
Exactly. And it's interesting, the chronicler doesn't dwell on Solomon's, failings, which you see a lot in the Book of Kings. The focus here is all about God's plan for Solomon's kingdom, with the temple right at the center of it all.
It's almost like the chronicler is saying, hey, look at it this way.
Yeah.
And speaking of the temple, Dr. Konkol compares it to a supersized version of the tabernacle, right?
He does. He actually uses pictures of the tabernacle to explain the temple's layout because they share the same symbolism, just on a grander scale.
Ah.
You've got the outer court, then the holy place, and finally the most holy place, each with its own specific purpose and rules about who could enter.
And each area is just like brimming with meaning. Dr. Konkol's explanation of the temple as a representation of creation itself really struck me.
It's powerful, yeah. Every single element, from the altar of incense to the table of bread, it's all laden with symbolism. The incense altar, symbolizes God's presence. The bread on the table represents his provision for humanity. It's like this intricate model of the universe, but God's at its very core.
It's like taking something abstract and giving it a physical form we can actually grasp. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And the way Dr. Konkol talked about holiness, it wasn't just about being good. He described it as a completely different dimension, something beyond our human experience of time and space.
It really challenges you to consider how limited our understanding of the divine truly is. We're finite beings trying to wrap our heads around the infinite. The temple, with its physical boundaries and restricted access, it embodies that struggle.
And it's in that space, the most holy place, where things get really interesting. I mean, we're talking about cherubim, these giant composite creatures with eagle wings and ox feet.
Oh, yeah. Talk about making a
A
statement.
huge statement.
Dr. Konkol actually saw a massive cherub statue at the British Museum.
Wow.
And he said it was like the temple description just sprung to life. It must have been incredible to see.
I can only imagine. But it's their symbolism that really gets me. Each part of the cherubim, the ox, the lion, the eagle, and the human form, they all represent dominion over different aspects of creation.
And their size in the most holy place,
Oh, yeah.
their wings spanning the entire width of the room.
It must have been awe-inspiring, to say the least. But here's the thing, they don't actually guard a throne in the temple, do they?
That's right. And that's important. It's not about God being physically present on a throne in that space. The cherubim, they're symbolizing God's dominion itself, extending over all of creation.
It's like they're saying, hey, look, God's power isn't limited to this one building.
Right.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. And that brings us to another powerful symbol, the Ark of the Covenant,
Okay.
a physical representation of that covenant between God and humanity.
Yeah.
And inside, you have the Ten Commandments, which Dr. Konkol suggests are more like core values than strict rules.
Oh, interesting. It's
Yeah.
not just following a rigid list of do's and don'ts,
Oh,
right? It's
yeah.
about like how to live in line with these principles and
Exactly.
how that kind of supports life and our connection with God.
Yeah, and think about the Ark's role on the Day of Atonement.
Her.
This was a time of intense reflection and repentance for the entire community.
Yeah.
The high priest, the only person allowed into the most holy place, would sprinkle blood from a sacrificed animal onto the ark's cover, the kafedat, to symbolize the cleansing of their sins.
Can you imagine the pressure on that high priest bearing the weight of an entire nation's transgressions?
Yeah, it must have been an incredibly powerful ritual.
Intense.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Day of Atonement was all about acknowledging human fallibility and seeking reconciliation with the divine.
Right.
It's this whole concept of atonement.
Yeah.
The idea that we can be cleansed from our mistakes.
Right.
Which is so central to many faiths.
And for Christians, this is where the symbolism of the temple takes on a whole new meaning, right? Yeah. Dr. Konkol points out that Jesus himself directly connects to the temple when he says, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days."
It's a really profound statement, especially when you think about the temple as a symbol for his body.
Yeah.
With his sacrifice, Jesus becomes that ultimate bridge between humanity and God.
So instead of a physical building, Christians believe that connection with God is available to anyone, anywhere, through Jesus.
That's the essence of it, yeah.
Wow.
It's about an internal transformation rather than external rituals.
So the focus shifts from what you do to who you are.
Exactly.
And then the relationship you have with God through faith in Jesus.
Right.
Okay, so if we're not literally going to the temple to offer sacrifices, what does understanding this ancient structure and all its symbolism mean for us today?
That's a great question. I think even though the temple is gone, it offers us a valuable framework for understanding our own spiritual journeys.
So it's more like a metaphorical blueprint.
Yeah. Exactly. The temple's emphasis on holiness, for example, reminds us that it's something we should constantly strive for.
Right.
A state of being that takes effort and self-reflection.
Yeah.
And this concept of sacrifice, though not in the literal sense, right, still remains relevant.
Okay.
It's about letting go of ego and selfish desires to align ourselves with, you know, what we believe is God's will.
So less about outward actions and more about an internal change of heart.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And the Ark of the Covenant, with its focus on the covenant between God and humanity, reminds us that we're not alone on this journey.
Right.
There's a relationship with a loving God who offers forgiveness and grace even when we fall short.
It really makes you think, you know, about what kinds of temples we build in our own lives. Not literally buildings, of course.
Right, right.
But, you know, the things we create, the habits we form, the values we uphold.
It's like taking that ancient symbolism.
Yeah.
And applying it to, you know, our modern lives. What are those structures, both physical and metaphorical?
Yeah.
That represent our connection to something greater.
And those giant cherubim, I mean,
oh yeah,
they really remind us that sometimes those representations can be pretty awe-inspiring.
Definitely.
Even a little intimidating.
They embody that sense of like power and majesty.
Right.
Which can be, you know, both alluring and humbling.
Yeah. So where does all this leave us? Like, what's the big takeaway from all this talk of temples and symbolism and all this?
Well, I think Dr. Konkol's lectures really give us a valuable tool here.
Yeah.
It's like he's giving us a key.
Okay.
To unlock a deeper understanding, not just of Solomon's temple.
Right.
But our own, you know, spiritual journeys.
It's about looking beyond the surface.
Yeah.
And finding those deeper layers of meaning that connect to us today.
Exactly. We can learn so much from these ancient stories and these symbols.
Yeah.
If we're willing to just dig a little deeper.
All right. So to recap, we explored the symbolism of peace in Solomon's reign. We talked about the temple as this representation of creation itself.
Yeah.
And we uncovered the deeper meanings behind all those intricate details, from those cherubim to the Ark of the Covenant.
And I think, you know, maybe the most important thing to remember here.
Yeah.
Is that even though the temple doesn't physically exist anymore.
Right.
Its message still resonates.
Yeah.
It reminds us that even the grandest structures, ultimately,
yeah,
are symbols pointing us towards something greater.
Okay.
Something beyond ourselves.
It's like this reminder to think about the temples we build in our own lives.
Yeah.
And what those things say about our values, you know, our beliefs, our connection to something bigger than us.
What structures, you know, physical or metaphorical, do we build to represent that connection?
That's a great question and a great place to leave it, I think. Don't forget to check out our show notes for links to Dr. Konkol's lectures.
Oh.
And we've got images of that incredible cherub statue he was talking about. We've even got some thought-provoking questions to help you continue your own deep dive into this fascinating topic. So happy exploring, everyone.